Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
But first, through an intimate look at friendship through the ups and downs of life, the new play Middletown, now playing at Chicago's Apollo Theater through March 22nd, is the ride of your life. It stars TV and stage veteran Sandy Duncan, Adrian Zemed, Steppenwolf Theater's Kate Boudicke, and the iconic Don Mose, one of Hollywood's most cherished television actors, starring for 7 years in the memorable role as Ralph Melf on TV's Happy Days.
What's that? This happens to be a list of the qualifications of a perfect wife. All right, one, good listener.
Yeah, right.
Two, good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Three, no mustache.
No.
Four, and this is a biggie, must be untried.
Oh, right, untried.
Five.
What's untried? Dummy. It means she's never been in court.
Saturday, what a day, grooving all week with you. These days are on.
Recently, Don has gone back to his first love, singing and touring throughout the country, and now stars here in Chicago in Middletown, and he joins us live in studio. Don, welcome in, pal.
Oh, thanks. Good to be here.
So glad you're here. When was the last time you were in Chicago? You were probably doing some jazz, some standards, some something here.
That's exactly right. I think about 3 years ago at Andy's Jazz Club.
Yeah.
And I did sort of a guest stint with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, and it was a blast. I had a great time. And then I was on WGN on the TV, you know, Morning News.
Morning News, yeah.
Probably about 2 years ago, a year ago, and I got to do, they had a big band also called Big Band Boom, and I did a Christmas song, so that
was
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think Anson came on and did Splish Splash some years ago.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes, I remember the producer, Jeff, telling
Jeff Hoover,
me.
Jeff
Hoover, yes.
Jeff Hoover, yeah. Absolutely. First, I have to say, the marketing of this play, and I was telling your PR folks, is the best I've ever seen. It's been on social media and everywhere. Every day, it's your face 10 times a day.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I was driving around here, we were coming back from an errand somewhere, and all of a sudden the bus comes by, and on the back of the bus is a poster of the play and the four of us in the cast. Our faces right there on the bus. So that was a first for me. I hadn't seen myself on the back of a bus before.
You know you've made it when you see yourself on the back of a CTA bus, right?
Right.
The producers of this play, and including playwright Dan Clancy, decided to stage this play a little differently. There's no traditional props or sets. Instead, each person is standing behind a music stand with a script in front of them. When you were presented this opportunity as an actor, were you like, that's pretty cool, or wow, what's this all about?
Well, I'd heard of other productions. I've never seen them, but, you know, Love Letters, I guess, famously did that, where the two actors are reading. And I'd actually been in another play where it was the same format. And it went really well. It went surprisingly well. And so when I was presented this, and I also knew who some of the other actors that were going to be in it, you know, I was very curious to read the play itself. And when I read Middletown, I was really taken with it and totally impressed. And the writing is just fabulous and presents terrific roles for the four actors. So, and I knew the caliber of who the other actors were, so... and then I learned that the production company, G4 Productions, I mean, they have a long, impressive list of credits on Broadway, in London, off-Broadway. They have like 40 Tonys to their credit.
Wow.
So I said, well, this sounds like a good group to be working with, and the material is fabulous. So I was totally on board, right, you know, almost from the get-go.
It almost seems like a way to not be distracted by other things happening. I'm actually listening to the whole story, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's exactly it. The playwright Dan Clancy and the director Seth Greenleaf, they felt that it's like pure storytelling and the simplicity of it and the language, you know, the structure of the piece, because it is an interesting structure. It's kind of like a memory play, and our characters, when you first meet us, we're in our 60s, but then we go back into when we were younger and when we first met these two couples. They're two couples that are best friends that have been having dinner every Friday night for 33 years.
So they take you back with makeup and everything. You
Well, no, we don't do anything. External, really, the subtle things for the aging, because that could be distracting.
Sure.
But you get it, because we're going in and out, and so we're engaged with each other in the scenes, and then break the wall and go and talk to the audience. So it's a very interesting hybrid, and it's very powerful, because it's like life. So there's a lot of humor, and it's very funny, and then you get to a portion of these people's lives where things will take a turn, and you experience that
ups
through them. Yeah, the roller coaster, the ride of your life, as the poster says. And it really is. And they're from New Jersey, Middletown, New Jersey, and they're very different, the couples, in terms of, you wouldn't think that these two couples would be friends, but yet they have this fabulous friendship. So it's about the friendship, but and about marriage, and about raising kids, and about getting older, and all of those ups and downs. But it's done with such insight and buoyant dialogue. that's something from the play that I was borrowing.
Okay.
People, you know, the reaction was so. I was a little surprised, to the extent, like when we first did the play. And people would come up, and they're still crying, and they're just overwhelmed, wow. You know. But they also have it's not just all sad. I mean, it's a real roller coaster.
But it relates to everybody. The ups and downs of life. Did it relate for you? Did you think through when you were performing something? Was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I've lived that.
Oh yeah. When my wife and I first met, and then when we had kids, you know, so the kids getting older and us getting, I mean, how can you, there's no way you cannot relate to it.
Right, right.
And when it's done so, when it's executed so well, the way Dan Clancy, the playwright did, that's, you know, when it becomes poetry sometimes.
You've appeared in so many plays and musicals throughout the years. The national tour of Damn Yankees with Dick Van Dyke, Strike Up the Band, Barefoot in the Park. You're no stranger to performing on stage, but touring with the show, what are you enjoying most about this experience?
Well, working with these people, and meeting some of the new people that I've, you know, from G4 production, Seth and Dan, the writer, and everybody connected with G4, and the play, you know, I mean, the play is the thing, you know, and mm-hmm. when it's really good material, that's what attracts me mostly to a project. So that's it.
Well, we're talking to Don Most on the new play right here in Chicago called Middletown, now through March 22nd at Chicago's Apollo Theater. And there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
Day in, day out, that same old voodoo follows me about.
Day player on 720 WGN. We're talking to TV icon Don Most about his new play here in Chicago, Middletown, now through March 22nd at Chicago's Apollo Theater. Don, the cast of this play, as you mentioned, has some really big history on television. Sandy Duncan, the Broadway revival of Peter Pan, the Hogan family, you know, 3 Tony Awards, 2 Emmy Awards, 2 Golden Globe. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Yeah. I mean, what a career she's had. And I'd never met, never worked or even met Sandy until we started on this, and she's just so delightful to work with, and she brings. I had done the play last spring, and Adrian was in it as well, but then the other two actresses were different in that particular one. So it was real interesting because Sandy's bringing all these other textures to this role that are new and really lovely, and. And then Adrian Zemed, who plays Tom.
Does he brag a lot about Bozo? You can tell me.
He does. He does brag about the Bozo thing. That seemed to be a huge deal, which
I would not have foreseen. Yeah.
But anyway, Adrian and I have known each other for many, many years because we used to play softball on the same celebrity softball team. And as a matter of fact, we played at Wrigley Field with
this
team.
Yes, you did. 79?
It was about that, and we played against the 69 Cubs, so that was a huge
thing.
Crazy,
yeah.
That was huge. And so Adrian and I also had toured for 6 months. We were in the Broadway tour of Grease, the Tommy Toon production, back in the late 90s. So we have a great history, and he's terrific in the play. And then there's a wonderful local actress, Kate Buttigieg, who's been doing stuff with Steppenwolf and on Broadway and in Death of a Salesman and many other things. So she's got quite a theater resume behind her, and she's terrific. So she's playing my wife in this piece. So and we just had our first rehearsal with her, the first real rehearsal yesterday, and we're actually doing a preview tonight.
That's cool. That's cool. And from Steppenwolf, I mean, that's a pretty iconic theater group here in Chicago. Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 She's terrific.
The cast is so important when signing up to a new adventure like this, and you are no stranger to successful ensembles, especially in television history. And I grew up in the '70s, so I'm a big TV geek. I've had your fellow cast members, Henry Winkler, Marion Ross, Anson Williams on the show. Marion Ross was the only one that said the F word on the air to me, by the way. We had to bleep that out at some point. Probably doesn't surprise you.
But it might have surprised you. Right?
It did surprise me a little bit. But they all agree, too, that the cast of that show was such a family.
Yeah, you know, and it sounds kind of cliche, family, but it really was the case. We got along just famously and on a professional level and a personal level, and it was a great bringing together. You know, you have to give the casting director, but I think the executive producers, Gary Marshall and Tom Miller and Ed Milkus, the original exec producers, for the picking the people that they did, and they went to pretty great lengths to just, I remember my screen test. Oh my, it was like running the gauntlet. You know, I mean, I had several auditions, and then I had to do the screen test, and I was there all day. You know, it wasn't just doing your scene and waiting because there were all the other actors, but then you had to do an improv with somebody, and then they did an interview with you on tape. I mean, they wanted to see you and from so up and down and back and forth, so that, and I guess they were anticipating, you know, how all these people would blend together.
Well, there was no Ralph Melfi at the time, was there?
Not really.
Okay.
You're right. I was screen testing for the role of Potsy, and that's a whole long story, which I will say for another one. But Anson, who originally played Potsy in a previous version of the, they did a pilot that didn't sell, Ron and Anson.
Right.
So anyway, they got cast again after this whole rigmarole of screen tests. But the executives, from what I found out later, my agent said the executives liked your screen test so much that they decided they were going to create a role for you.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
After going through all that, and no, we like this guy so much, he's going to be on. We're going to make it happen for
him. And there was a small part of a guy, Ralph, in the pilot episode, and they said, we'll make that a regular.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Those first couple years, we were talking a little bit off air about it, those first couple years, the way it was filmed, it was just a little bit of a different vibe back then. Very American Graffiti, because it was post that time.
Right. It was, Graffiti came out in 73, and we went on the air. We started shooting. Well, we shot the pilot at the end of 73. And, yes, the first two seasons, we were shooting it very much like a movie, one camera. So there were more subtleties in the way, in the way it's filmed and just the tone of it. It was it's a lot more, a lower key, more realistic kind of tone, like in a movie. As opposed to then, what happened was the big successful comedies on TV at the time were in front of an audience, like All in the Family and Maude. So our ratings the first year were good. We were kind of like a minor hit, but not huge.
Right.
And then the second year, the ratings were going down.
Yeah.
And there was a time where they weren't sure if we'd even get picked up. But then I think Jerry Paris, who was our brilliant director, maybe Gary Marshall too, they decided, you know what, maybe this should be a three-camera show to compete with those other ones, and they thought we had a perfect cast for it. Tom Bosley came from theater, you know.
Sure.
He's from Chicago, and then he won the Tony on Broadway, yes, playing Fiorello. And Marion had a lot of theater background. Henry had gone to Yale Drama School. I had done, you know, my training in New York was more theater-oriented than film, and Anson had done theater. The one person that was scared and the first day, the first time we shot, was really scared was Ron Howard. He had never done
right.
any theater.
Andy Griffith was, audience.
And he had done all these movies, like Music Man as a kid and all this, but no theater. But he did amazing. But that's why they decided, let's turn this and try it out as a three camera. And also moving the character of the Fonz into the forefront more, because his character was becoming so popular. And then that's when we started taking off.
Is that when you knew that this was big? I can't go out in public anymore.
Third season, maybe. Somewhere in that third season, we shot up to like number one, you know, in the country, and stayed there for a couple of years, and then two, whatever. But the tone of the show definitely changed. It became, you know, it's this hybrid between live and film.
Yeah.
So when you look back at the episodes, you'll see a distinct difference between those first two seasons and the ones after.
But you think about the ratings at that time, half of America sitting down and watching that. We'll never see that again.
I know. We were having like 50, 60 million people watching us on a Tuesday night. I know. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And it's fast approaching, and I dare I say, like, the 50-year mark. I mean, it's coming up soon, you know, 74. So it'll 74 be
74 is when we premiered.
In a few years, It seems unreal.
Oh, gosh.
that it's become such a big part of TV history. I mean, when people see you guys, and people get excited because that was part of growing up in the 70s.
Yeah, they do, especially, like, if they see, I'm really good friends. I mean, we're still all friends, but Anson and I have, because we don't live that far from each other, and because of circumstances and whatever, we're probably even better friends now than we were then. I mean, we're just really tight. So when we're out together and people see us together, they get a really big kick.
I bet they do. I bet they do.
Really big kick.
I bet they do. You sang before you even started acting.
Yes.
And at some point on the series, you talked to Gary Marshall and said, okay, Anson's doing some singing. Right. Like, can I throw myself in there and do this?
Yeah. What happened was, I was singing in nightclubs in the Catskill Mountains when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
And then I put it aside and really focused on acting. And 5 years later, you know, I was on Happy Days. But Anson had done musical theater, and he had approached Gary early on. Early in the first season, it said, and he tells a very funny story in his book, which is called "Singing to a Bulldog," and there's a chapter in it with when he convinced Gary to let him. He said, "We should have a band. You know, you have all the other stuff about the 50s. You got the cars, the poodle skirts. All of the stuff going on, but you don't have the music. And we could have a band at Arnold's." And so he convinced Gary to let him try it, and Gary liked it, and you know Anson was a good singer, and he had done musical theater, so they did more and more, and then at one point I took a meeting with Gary because I wanted to, you know, it was lobbying for me to get a chance, but he didn't want to go there because he felt he had already established Anson that Potsy is the singer, and Ralph was more of a cut up, you know, kind of thought he was a comedian. He didn't want to mess with that. So I didn't really, every once in a while, for the most part I didn't. It was a little frustrating, but I knew one day, it wasn't the music that I really loved anyway. I mean, I liked some of it, but the music that was in my blood were the great jazz standards, you know, great American songbook. And I knew I'd want to do that at some point. And I did 5-6 years ago, started putting a show together, been doing it at clubs in New York.
I know, it gets great reviews, I know.
Yeah. Studio 54 Below in New York, and jazz out in L.A., Catalina's Jazz Club, and all of that kind of stuff. And then did a CD called Mostly Swinging with a great big band, and I just love that kind of stuff.
Very cool. You met your wife on the show.
I did.
Yeah. 35 years now?
We just had our 38th wedding anniversary.
Look at that. Congratulations.
Yes, 38 years. Yeah, she did a guest spot on Happy Days. It was what turned out to be my last season because I did the first seven. And then my contract was up. I opted not to renew. But luckily, Morgan, my wife, was on the show during that last season when we started dating and got married 2 years after.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. Long-lasting. You just got together with many of the original cast members for a tribute to Gary Marshall, you know, a legend in his own right. Great relationship with him, I know you had over those years, but it must be amazing embracing those friendships, as you said, five decades later.
Oh, it was great to see everybody, because it's very rare that we all get to be together at once. You know, Ron Howard's a busy guy, and Henry, too, and we all are. So they were doing a fundraiser for the Gary Marshall Theater, and they were honoring the original Happy Days cast. So Ron, Henry, Marion, Anson, and I were all there, and it was a terrific evening.
I bet.
It was great.
I bet. You started acting, singing in high school, but your first screen credit was in Emergency, 70s. Was that what it was?
The first TV credit... I don't know which aired first. The first one I did was Room 222.
Yep, I remember that show.
Then I did Emergency.
Okay.
And I played a guy who got into a car accident, became like paralyzed.
Wow.
And then I'd done a police story.
Oh, yeah.
Where I played a mad psycho. I mean, I was more interested in dramatic
drama
roles.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
But then Happy Days came along, and then, you know, you get kind of associated with that. And then it was hard for me to even audition for the dramatic parts after that.
Yeah.
You know, that's how things go. But luckily, and it was very hard for a while to get away from being so associated with the character of Ralph. But the one thing about aging, that's another thing from the play.
Put his finger in the air.
Somebody says, name one good thing about aging, you know, and then the character, I won't give you the answer. But for me, it's created more distance from that character as I've gotten older in the time. And I'm now getting to play all kinds of roles that I've always wanted to do. I like playing a wide variety. And I did a movie called MBF, which is on Amazon Prime now, and it's a pretty powerful film. And I play a defense attorney defending a wounded vet. And then I did another one for the same company. We shot in Michigan, actually, right on the other side of this lake, on the very western part of Michigan.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was called Lost Heart, and it's a really nice script. I play a small-town pastor in that. And then I did the play Art recently, which is a total departure again from people that would think of me as Ralph. So it's really nice. And now Middletown, which and I'm playing a very different kind of character in Middletown. You know, he's a real blue collar kind of guy from New Jersey, and you know, there's all different textures and colors for me to get into in this character. So the with age, that it's getting me to the point where I'm doing more of what I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Here's the good thing, Donnie. You still got it.
I still got it.
You still got it. Well, I can't wait to see the play. It's called Middletown, playing through March 22nd at the Apollo Theater right here in Chicago. For tickets, you can visit apollochicago.com. So thrilled you came in the studio to hang out with us.
Oh, thanks. It was really great talking with you. I totally enjoyed it.
I can't wait to see the play.
Yeah, you definitely have to come.
Don Most, everybody. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, classic Chicago television commercials. We'll talk about that next on 720 WGN. My happy